May the God of all hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, so that we may abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Throughout the Gospels, Jesus is continually going off alone to pray, especially in the Gospel of Luke. And his disciples, seeing this, want to know just what he is doing. They come to him and ask, "Lord, teach us to pray." Now, I assume that Jesus prayed with his disciples all the time. Jesus and his disciples shared a common faith, a common scripture and practice of prayer. They prayed the daily prayer of the Shema, grace at meals, prayers at the synagogue, and prayers for the Sabbath. But the disciples see something else in Jesus. They see him go off alone just to spend time with God. They see his intimacy with God, and they want to understand it. It's not that they don't know the rituals and rhythms of prayer as a part of their life of faith, but they want to go deeper, as they see Jesus do. And so they ask, "Lord, teach us to pray as you do." And Jesus offers a simple instruction for prayer. We call these words the Lord's Prayer, but it could just as well be called the disciples' prayer, because it is meant for the followers of Jesus to use. This prayer has been at the core of Christian worship for centuries. And indeed, the version many of us know best is from a translation centuries old, the King James Version of the Bible. "Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven." They are beautiful words. They are words that many of us know by heart, words that I can pray with people even when they have forgotten other things. They can come right in and pray those words with me. And this is not the language we use in holy speech. Thee, thy, thou, hallowed. Or anywhere, really, except for in church. And so the prayer is part of that churchy language that sometimes I think makes us feel that we don't really know how to pray, or we don't pray correctly. And we certainly don't feel comfortable praying out loud in front of other people. It's just not going to sound right, you know, like it does in church. But the original instructions Jesus gave the disciples, while profound in what they say about who we are as God's children, are intended to be simple instructions for conversation with God, spoken in simple language. Today, we begin a 5-week sermon series exploring the Lord's Prayer. In the coming 4 weeks, we'll take a closer look at the 4 petitions of the prayer. We'll read different translations from Luke and Matthew, and we'll use some contemporary versions of the prayer in our worship. We begin today with those first words: when you pray, say, "Abba, holy be your name." The prayer begins by addressing God and who we are in relation to God. It lifts up God as one who is holy, who is unique and beyond our understanding. Isaiah's vision offers an image of that holy, other God. Isaiah writes, "I saw the Lord sitting on a throne, high and lofty, and the hem of the Lord's robe filled the temple. Seraphs were in attendance above him. Each had 6 wings. With 2 they covered their faces, and with 2 they covered their feet, and with 2 they flew. And one called to another and said, 'Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory.'" So I brought a depiction here of that throne room scene. And just, it's an interesting thing to Google images. You either have a lot of images of an old guy with a white beard and a robe sitting on a throne, very literally, or some really interesting, colorful, trippy stuff like this. And it's kind of fun to look at those modern interpretations of how people imagine something beyond the old man on the throne. But what is that glory and majesty of God? This is the Creator and Lord of creation. Yet, Jesus invites his disciples to call this holy, holy other God our Father. In Aramaic, it's Abba, which means dad or daddy. Jesus says, when you pray, come to God as a child approaching a loving parent. It's a powerful invitation to stand before the holy and address the sacred by name. Pastor and former seminary professor David Lowes writes, Jesus invites us into relationship with God through prayer, offering us the opportunity to approach God whose name is too holy to speak and whose countenance is too terrible to behold, with the familiarity, boldness, and trust of a young child running to her parent for both provision and protection. Jesus offers a framework for prayer rooted in trust and dependence on God. This is not just a prayer with words to recite. It is a way to live before God as God's beloved children. In the coming weeks, as we explore the petitions of prayer that Jesus offers us, we can remember that these petitions are always grounded in who God is, holiness and mystery, and yet for us, a loving parent, and in who we are as God's beloved children. How do we pray? It begins with simply showing up, making ourselves present to a God who loves us and invites us and calls us constantly into relationship. We don't need fancy words and phrases, just trust and honesty as we come to God for conversation, comfort, and help. The writer Anne Lamott has written in her book, Traveling Mercies, and she's well known for this, that our two best prayers are quite simple. They are, help me, help me, help me, and thank you, thank you, thank you. Perhaps Jesus would agree, since his invitations for prayer are above all else, an invitation to honesty and trust and even intimacy. So leaning into this invitation to ask and to trust, I invite you to pray with me as Anne Lamott suggests with the words from the screen. You read the bold indented words. When Jesus said to his disciples, when you pray, say, Father, hallowed be your name. Help me, help me, help me. Your kingdom come. Give us each day our daily bread. Thank you, thank you, thank you. And forgive us our sins, for we ourselves forgive everyone indebted to us. Thank you, thank you, thank you. And do not bring us to the time of trial. Help me, help me, help me. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Amen.